Hello again, everyone. It's Jana again. It's still the 11th. I've got Simon here with me as well.
Hello.
Hi. I did actually record a second part to that boo from this morning, and then once again, events moved so fast. This morning I was still afraid that maybe Andrew Litton was going to win the Tory vote and become the leader and thereby the Prime Minister.
Me too.
Yeah, and since then things have moved very quickly. She stepped back and the 1922 committee have decided to let Theresa May be Prime Minister straight away, so not have any type of contest. And she's going to be Prime Minister from Wednesday, apparently.
Yeah, according to what's his name? Cameron.
Cameron, yeah. So again, events moved very fast. I don't know. I can't remember whether I said that this morning, that I thought it was quite a good idea to, if we can wait a little bit for things to calm down before a new Prime Minister is in place. But we're not going to have that option now, so we'll see what she does. Things are still quite fresh, so that should be interesting.
You think she's going to jump straight into action and...
Well, I don't know.
...start making changes?
I don't know. We'll see. I think she's still the best candidate out of the ones that were up for it for trying to...
Least worst candidate.
Yeah, for trying to unite... not very united kingdom.
Disunited.
But I think I wanted to make a point about the media when I ran out of time earlier.
How useless they are.
Yeah, they are useless. They're obviously quite useful because that's how I found out that, Letsam stepped down and Theresa May was going to get the leadership, so they're quite useful for that sort of thing, but you know, for actual news they're still usable, turns out, but otherwise it's just propaganda, isn't it? Can't really call it anything else.
The facts versus the journalism, the opinion.
Yeah, and it really became very obvious in the referendum campaign that there was very little investigative journalism, that there was very little challenging of politicians and anyone out there with an opinion. It was very often just driven. There was a certain bias. Each newspaper sort of had an opinion which side they were going to be on, and they were just going for that side. So depending on which newspaper you read, you're going to come out with one opinion or another.
Yeah.
And even the BBC, who, you know, many people still think is impartial and unbiased, they were doing the exact same thing.
Certainly were.
So there was no... But I'm kind of... I don't know. Is it too much to expect of journalists to provide some kind of checks and balances in terms of, you know, questioning politicians, questioning their motives, and you know, doing more than just regurgitating the press release they've been sent by either camp or by a political party? But should they not question it a bit more? And you know, because it really looked like, oh, the Remain campaign have done something, oh, let's phone up Leave, oh, they said this, and then the rest was just kind of really general stuff, but there was no interpretation, there was no, you know, there was nothing. There was nothing where I would think a journalist has added any value. You know, you could just have someone who can operate Word, because they can just take their statements and make a text out of them and then post them to a website.
Copy and paste.
Do you see what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So that was very disappointing, and I was also very disappointed recently to hear that that the BBC is still at it. So they've clearly not learnt anything. I mean, there seemed to be a little bit of self-flagellation around the referendum result, where they're kind of, ooh, we back this side, ooh. But it's still going on. I heard this, I told you about this, I heard this interview on Radio 4 on a Today programme, where this guy interviewed the editor-in-chief of The Economist and...
Justin Webb.
You think it was him, yeah. So, and this American professor...
Sussex, yeah.
The University of Sussex, economics really professor.
Really good interview, I thought. Well, really good discussion.
Yeah. And so what did you think about this bit at the end? That I pointed
out to
you.
Very interesting, yeah, very interesting.
It was very interesting, wasn't it? So, yeah, so because Justin Webb, we think it was, said, well, because, you know, the UK voted to leave the EU because we were a net contributor, and then very quickly added, the Leave campaign said. And the economics professor said to him, yeah, but we know that was false. But in kind of a really... Well, why are you even bringing this up? We know that was all nonsense. Exactly. Why are you even bringing this into the discussion?
Exactly.
You know, and then
which is true.
Yeah, and I just and again, you know, because I heard it and I had exactly the same reaction as she did, and she then proceeded to tell him about the you know so oh yeah, but we were paying in all this money. He said. Yeah, so what, about 10 billion a year? And then she proceeded to tell him about the Horizon Research Programme, which is about 80 billion over several years that the UK will be losing out on now. And she also made the point that, you know, the poor regions certainly weren't net contributors because they received more EU funding. And he then cut her off. And it was exactly like listening to the campaign beforehand. If somebody... made a good point, used some facts, they get cut off. It was incredible, wasn't it? So, yeah, I was very disappointed to hear that that kind of thing is still going. So they've clearly not learned anything. Yeah, and the other newspapers, well, I say the newspapers, well, it's the same thing, isn't it? You've got to read a variety to...
You're getting a bit husky.
Yeah, to form an opinion. Yeah, I don't know, I'm a bit husky. I don't know. Some people said that it's the chlorine at the swimming pool. Apparently some people are allergic to that. Yeah, it's quite aggressive stuff they're using in this pool, apparently. Yeah. Anyway. So, yeah, so I still read... It's quite interesting. I still read... So, you know, whichever paper I can, and there's always going to be a different slant on it. And then they seem to all have... So there seems to be, like, the official position of the newspaper, and then they seem to have their columnists, and they're allowed to say something that goes against the official line. that's then always the most interesting bit. And then they all seem to have a lot of sort of commentating trolls at the moment who will just shout down whatever... but I just found it staggering. So I was talking about this Aaron Banks this morning. I just find it absolutely staggering that you know, so we're supposed to live in a democracy, but you can, you know, you have this rich guy and this other rich guy, and they can pay for this campaign, and this is what gets believed by the great masses. So they can basically change the direction the country's going in because they have enough money and they could afford to have this campaign. And the MP is looking a little bit sheepish now because they were the ones voting in this law about this referendum and didn't think that they should put some safeguards in place, you know, about how to campaign and how to present polls and how to, you know, and having a clear majority, etc., etc. Yeah, nobody took into account what it would do to the union. So, you know, breaking up the country wasn't really part of the referendum, but that may well happen now. So nobody seemed to have thought of these things. So yeah, but I just find it incredible that it's supposed to be democracy and yet you can have some rich guys and with their newspapers, and that can influence public opinion.
Yeah. Why are the BBC so nationalistic?
Don't know.
I don't know.